Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How familiar are you with the book of Proverbs? So I have one person waved his hand, another sort of raised it up. But you know what Proverbs are, right? Are you familiar with Poor Richard's Almanac? That was a collection of proverbs pulled together by Benjamin Franklin, and it was pretty popular in the early American Republic. People like short, pithy sayings about leading a good life. Books like that sell all the time. You may remember there was a book called All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten that came out about 20, 30 years ago, and it was all over the place. And then there was a guy named Stephen Covey who wrote a book about the habits of successful people. People like short, digestible tips on living a good life. So what does that have to do with us today? What is this doing in the Bible? Proverbs appears a few times in the lectionary cycle. I, however, have never preached on this book. In almost 15 years here, I have never preached on this book. I have no problems with the Hebrew Bible, which I've turned to often, but Proverbs is a strange duck. But this year's stewardship theme is drawn from Proverbs. Specifically, chapter 21, verse 3, which I'll read again. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So go do it. Now you might be thinking, that's too easy. Someone's going to ask me for some money at some point. Not just John through the letter that you hopefully have received by now, but me from the pulpit. And I'm a little bit uncomfortable doing that. I don't know if any of you saw the New York Post last week, but there was a story about Governor Hochul and her plans to reintroduce congestion pricing in New York City. And I had a picture of her behind a lectern and the words, "Gimme, gimme, gimme." And that was the front page. And I sort of feel like that when I come to you, asking you to support the church. Gimme. We've all got claims on our resources. I am sure that all of you have received many solicitations from other organizations with which you are involved. And I am not going to say they are not worthy of your support. But I am going to say the church is different. So we have people here who've come from all different walks of life to this place at this time on a Sunday morning, dealing with the traffic obstructions. But you all came here. Why? Anyone want to answer? Or are you just going to keep that secret in your heart? That's okay. But again, the message of welcome that this church extends is really important and needed in today's world. So think about the banner we've got hanging over the front door. People notice it. People notice the banner. And we've had a couple of banners up over the doors over the years. And they've communicated that same welcome. That's important. That's necessary. But what does that have to do with your giving? We've got lights on. We have music during the service. We do not pay our choir, but we do pay our church musician. These things cost money. But I'm not asking you to give your last dollar to the church. You may have heard the old saying about give until it hurts. Why? I cannot think of a good reason to give until it hurts. There is some research going on out there now about the benefits of giving. To you personally, your health. When you give, you share. And when you share, you can feel better. Now, I know that sounds like a dumb sort of, well, of course I know that. But is that the message you get when you watch TV? Is that the message you get in the movies? Sometimes, sure. But other times, it's all about gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all what I can get for myself. And in the realm of Proverbs, Christopher Buckley wrote what I thought was a very amusing book a number of years ago called God is My Broker. And it was a take off of all of those self-help books. It's a monk tycoon reveals a 7.5 laws of spiritual and financial growth. And I'm going to share the first one with you. 1, if God phones, take the call. Okay. Now, some of you have smartphones, and you may have this feature on your landline at home, but caller ID will tell you who's calling. And if God is not in your phone, God is going to show up as spam. Do you want to treat a call from God as spam? So in a few weeks, we are going to be going through the process of recruiting new volunteers for the new church year. And you may receive a call. But you can preempt that call by thinking and praying about what gifts you have to share with the church community. Have you ever wanted to be treasurer? We are not going to know unless you tell us. Have you ever wanted to be a deacon? Again, we are not going to know unless you tell us. And you may be able to find all sorts of reasons you can't do these things. But if you find all of those reasons you can't do these things, then you have just screened out your call from God. Do not put God aside. Do not put the church aside. And again, today's little snippet of wisdom is 21 verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So every Sunday we have our stewardship time. And the ushers collect the offering and bring it up in plates, which I bring up to the altar. And some of you may wonder why we do that week in and week out. We do it for a couple of reasons. One is because offering our gifts to support the mission and ministry of God's church is an act of worship. We are also reenacting the liturgy of ancient times and the presentation of sacrifices in the temple. We are not offering any animal sacrifices here at any time soon. Your cats and dogs are safe. But think about what is involved in offering a sacrifice. You have to choose an animal and present it to the priests. And some people spent a little too much time thinking about which animal they were going to present because they wanted the sacrifice to look good. They weren't really thinking about what God was getting out of it. They were thinking about what the neighbors would think. That was not the kind of devotion God was looking for. There is a lot of talk in the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament about doing justice and about the things God wants. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. God wants us to treat one another well. God wants us to love one another. And yes, we can have debates about what justice is. But rather than set it aside because it can't be defined, rather than ignore it because people don't share our definition, we need to engage the issue. God is calling on us, not on your neighbor, not on the strangers who live down the street. God is calling us. So later in the service, some of us are going to present our offerings for the coming year. In advance, I'll say thank you. But you still have time to think about and pray on what you're going to commit to God's work. You may not be a resident in this community. You may be visiting from somewhere else. We still want your participation. We are not going to publish the amount of your gift anywhere. It's between you and God. Think about that. You come here and pray. You may well be asking things of God. What are you willing to give God in return? You can't send him a gift by Venmo. God is not going to take a cash offering. The church is one of the tools God uses to help God's people. So there isn't a proverb that I know of that says, give often, give early. There isn't a proverb that tells us not to play in traffic, although there should be. But there is a proverb here that helps us think about our money and our treasures. And some of us may well have challenges to deal with that others cannot imagine. And some of us will give more than our financial advisors would tell us we should give. But it is not for us to judge what others are giving. Instead, we need to look in our own hearts and ask just what it is we want to give. Because as trite as it might sound, giving is its own reward. Giving of cash, the giving of time, the giving of our voices, the giving of our presence. They are all forms of stewardship. So next week, I will leave behind talk about giving to the church, and I'll just give you a good old-fashioned Jeremiad. I haven't decided what I'm going to go hot and bothered about yet. But I'll bring down the fire and brimstone for you. But this week, I want us to think about our stewardship. And think about what our generosity can do for the world. And that's quite a claim. That my $5 in the plate might make a difference in the world. But it will make a difference. And we participate in a wider church because we're called to be covenantal partners with one another. And each of our gifts can be leveraged with other gifts into one big gift that makes a tremendous difference. This church has been here for more than 200 years. I've got mixed feelings about whether it should be here for another 200. Part of me would like to think it is going to endure. Part of me would like to think that Jesus is going to come tomorrow. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He hasn't told us. But we should be prepared for his return. And we should try to build a world in which we would want to welcome Jesus. We should build a church into which we would want to welcome Jesus. And more than your money, that is going to require your heart. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for the many lessons it contains. We thank you for the things it makes us think about. Please be with us during our time of discernment and in our time of commitment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.